I used to feel like when you're married, you need to, you know, everything needs to be together. We need to just, oh my gosh. One thing Jamie's really helped me with and we've grown into is independence. I'm fine, baby. You be you. You be the best you can be. But guess what? Let me be the best me I can be. And we're pretty independent. Now, boy, do we love each other? Are we best friends? Do we like doing certain things together? But this trip I'm going to in Minneapolis for 3 days this week, she'll be just fine. She'll have fun. She'll have fun with her girlfriends. She'll do stuff, but we'll get back together. It'll be awesome. But we don't judge ourselves by others that like to be together, you know, 20 conversations a week. If they don't have an hour conversation at a time, they feel like their relationship, something's wrong with it. Jamie and I are pretty daggum independent, and I think that served us well, because if either one of us felt in a corner or like we were in a cage, I don't think that's healthy.
I'm Julie Bullitt. I've been a family therapist for over 30 years.
I'm David Bullitt. I've been a divorce and family lawyer for more than 35 years.
Together, we have been married for more than 37 years.
In our professional practices, the two of us have been witnesses to individuals and families struggling with life's most difficult challenges. In this podcast, we will talk about the conversations we have had,
the conversations we should have had,
and those that every relationship needs to have in order to find success, happiness, and fulfillment.
This is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast. Welcome back to Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
We're here today with a couple coming to us from Montgomery, Alabama. I think it's Montgomery, Alabama, but Alabama for sure. Jamie and Zane Torrance. And how did we get to them? How we got to them was that Jamie's Instagram Family Savvy caught my eye. And I've been following her. We've been following her for, I guess, a month plus, maybe 2 months now, give or take. And so that led me to do a little bit of research. And what I found, and you guys probably don't know this, but what I found was that we have a heck of a lot in common. We've both been married 39 years. We both have daughters. We both have sons-in-law. We both have grandchildren, and we both have dogs. My two are here in our makeshift studio as we speak. So there's a lot in common, and we chased these two folks down to try to have a little discussion with us about their lives together, about their business, and we thought that they would be really bring some interesting stuff to the conversation. Zane is an entrepreneur, an investment banker, an author, an industry speaker. Jamie runs Family Savvy on Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook. She focuses on recipes and on beauty products, style, and fashion. My wife is shaking her head as we speak because she, all those things.
I love all those things, Jamie.
Jamie also has a podcast in which she focuses on food, family, relationships, and more. It's called The Savvy Podcast. Welcome aboard, you guys. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having us. We're excited about being here.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you. Good deal. So tell me a little, let's start sort of at the beginning. 39 years, let's jump right in. What have we found successful, and what have we struggled with during that 39-year period? That probably could be a separate podcast in and of itself. Yeah. But
it could be.
We could have a series. Yeah. I'll just start. We met on a blind date, and we found out that our religious upbringing, our spiritual moorings were basically the same. We both grew up Church of Christ. So we basically knew how each other were raised from a spiritual standpoint, how we believed the Bible, interpreted the scripture. And we hit it off. We got married, engaged 10 months after we met, married 5 months after that. Wow. And the honeymoon lasted about 6 months, and then it was downhill for a long time. But then we, because we both believed that divorce was not an option, we trudged through. We had a lot of help. His dad's a pastor, and we were always involved in the church. So that was our mooring that kept us through those times that otherwise we would not have stayed together. And from all of those struggles, our ministry that we are still engaged in today was born. So,
yeah. And the only thing I'll add to that, you know, it's been like I tell people, the stock market, David and Julie, our marriage, it goes up and down, up. Okay, so if you draw a regression line through it, it's gone up, but there's definitely been seasons that were brutal. And Jamie mentioned we're people of faith, and it did help us stick through it because we would not be married if we had had an option. You know, people tell me, have, you know, if I mean, we just wouldn't have been, because it got so tough. And every time we looked at each other's face, I think we went into state. You know, I thought like, maybe Jamie's the reason I'm unhappy, or I'm the reason she's unhappy. But because we just had a faith, we worked through it. And man, I have to say, even though y'all saw us get frustrated on this, you know, trying to get on this podcast, it's like, what the heck? We don't work well together. And that's the reason we kind of, you know, we've learned some things for us to kind of try to get off each other's air hose in certain situations. We just don't do certain things because we figured out, being naturally bright like we are, we don't need to do that together, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, now it's unbelievable. We still have times, you know, that get a little rough, but they're really fast because we know each other's rhythms and we know what to do.
Yeah. So I wanted to just like dive into that. I'm glad you brought that up, because that's what this podcast is about, you know, helping couples kind of understand that relationships and marriage is really hard, that it, even though you guys look like you have it all together, there's times where you don't. Mm-hmm. And if you could circle around to kind of talk about what things, I mean, certainly your faith was a big one. What things do you think that sort of anchored the relationship that sort of allowed you to make it through the really difficult times?
Yeah. You want to start?
Yeah. Well, I credit, and I think Zane would too, one of the things that saved our marriage was actually a person, but Dr. Joe Beam, he was very well known back in the day for his class,
Family Dynamics,
based in Nashville. And he was a dear friend and a mentor. We attended his courses, but a lot of them were practical, the his needs, her needs. He partnered with Harley and used that book with all the practical things, Love Bank. That was really key to us in the beginning, because we could learn where our love bank was full, where it was empty. We learned that we were very, very different, and we just had to learn to live with that, work around it, because in the very beginning, you know, it was like we thought we were going to change each other, and it just was not working. So there was a resignation of sorts of, you know, we're going to have to accept each other and learn to love each other despite the things we don't like.
Yeah, and I would add to that, I would say, first of all, as she said, people. We're blessed enough to surround ourselves. We had some people in our lives that were for our marriage. We see a lot of people we talk to and work with, they end up having friends that aren't really for their marriage. And so Jamie had some friends, some girlfriends that when she'd get really frustrated with me, would remind her, hey, Zane's got a lot of good things. He's a good man, right? And vice versa, my friends would say stick with. So I'd say friends, and such a blessing. I would also say when we started understanding personalities better, we had not been around this, but in my work, we started doing DISC and personality profiles. Later in our marriage, we found the Enneagram, you know, and you figure out that it's personalities, and there's certain times and situations we have to be careful with. So when we got more knowledge, we saw that this wasn't, you know, I mean, there were things to do. There were tactics. And so we got hope that this wasn't a fundamental deal like, oh, shoot, I just married the wrong woman, or she married the wrong man. This would have happened in any other relationship. So I think those are some things that really changed us.
Yeah. And then there's one other thing that I've already learned about the two of you that you shared without even knowing probably that you shared it, which is that you learned to forgive quickly. Repair.
Yes,
absolutely. And we had an incident where, you know, Jamie was raised a little differently than me. We had different families of origin. That was the other thing we realized, whoa, we were raised very differently. But forgiveness was always a big deal. And I remember one particular time, 7 years into our marriage, just a huge goof up with me. And I mean, she gave me grace. It's like, wow. And then just forgiving each other quickly and not becoming bitter. I think you're spot on, Julie.
Yeah, I mean, when we've worked with folks, and that old adage, you know, familiarity breeds contempt, is no more active than in a marriage or in a relationship that I've seen in relationships that are in trouble, because people, it's easy to focus on the bad stuff, right? She didn't do the laundry. I don't have the kitchen's dirty. I have to go out and work an extra 6 hours because we spent X, Y, or Z, whatever it might be. And being able to focus on the other 80 or 90% mm-hmm. can be difficult for people, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Zane, what you mentioned this in class the other night, the his needs, her needs, the three most important things in a marriage, and everybody has the top one or two. And if those are met, which my top ones he meets, and he says I meet his top ones, you're right. All that other, why would you let it bust up someone, a marriage to someone who's meeting your top one to three needs?
Yeah, and that's key. And David, you hit it in Jamie. It's like, I think there's 10, you know, history shows the reason people get divorced, these 10 needs. And we got to understand our needs aren't the same. Of course. When I really look at it, what attracted me to Jamie, she knocks my top two needs out of the freaking park. So who cares if number nine, you know, I need her to, you know, conversational capacity or whatever. It's just a nothing burger compared to her, you know, knocking my two biggest needs out of the park. And I feel very, very grateful for that.
Yeah. That's interesting. Cause we did a post a while ago, which was if 80% of your marriage is good, then that's good enough, right? Like it's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be perfect.
That's right. Yeah. And what is a perfect marriage?
There isn't one.
No,
that's right. And I think, and David, you meant a perfect marriage is one that is aware that we're each not perfect. Yes. We're both, you know, hopefully working on ourselves. One thing I always loved about Jamie, even though she had some issues, I saw them, she saw them. I had some huge issues. I knew Jamie was working to grow. Mm-hmm. It was never like, that's no big deal or whatever. And I think she knew I was open to growth, getting help. I need a recovery, get in recovery. Mm-hmm. I mean, am I working on myself? And knowing that your spouse is not depending on you to make all the changes and make them feel happy and all that, and they're working on themselves and taking responsibility, I think that's huge.
And speaking to that point, courses, we were always in a marriage course. Now, first of all, we were always in church 3 days a week. Then there was Sunday school. Then there was small group. And then we did Dennis and Barbara Rainey, those weekends to remember. We did all of these weekends. And then what was really born from that was not just the practical tools you got at the course, but seeing the struggles other people had.
Normal.
Then you're like, oh my goodness, we're not crazy. We're not the only ones. So always being involved with other couples and some sort of learning capacity has been tremendous.
Yeah, that's awesome because so many people don't do it for whatever reason. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to get other people involved. They're embarrassed about something or don't want to share. And one thing you said, Zane, a few minutes ago, which really struck me, and again, I'm a movie person, so my apologies, but Clint Eastwood, I believe in one of his Westerns, there was a line, a man's got to know his limitations. Mm. And when you talked about that, the two of you know that there are certain things we can't do together. We got to do separately. And Julie and I have found the same, you know, there's times when it's not anger, it's just, okay, I need this lane. You got that lane kind of a thing. And I think that's another thing that's difficult for people to wrap their hands around. Why don't you want to do this with me? Why shouldn't we do this to you? Well, because of X, Y, or Z. And we saw a little bit of that when you were getting the microphone ready.
We could have told y'all, one of the things Jamie and I don't do well together is anything technical. I'm not very good at fixing things. So if I'm frustrated fixing something, which is very common, I don't know if it's my inferiority complex or what, but I get frustrated. It's better for us not to be trying to do something like that.
I gotta tell you, things are sounding more and more familiar.
I better be not to do it. Maybe it's because I don't know how to do it, but I want to be in control. I want to get it done. The other thing,
We don't drive together much.
Some of the earliest issues we had, and it was, and we compared ourselves to others. Like, we need to be able to do this. Other people do this. Other people like this. People look at us crazy, but when we go places, we typically, if it's socially, we go together. But if we're going to an event or a church, whatever, because I used to try to control Jamie, believe it or not, try to control her. I'm going to help her get along with others. And being an 8 on the Enneagram, you know, she's tough. She don't like to be controlled. So we take different cars. And guess what? Yeah. She can leave whenever she wants to. Yeah, and that, if she gets tired, we'll leave. But I feel embarrassed because, oh, these are people so sweet. We need to stay longer. That's my personality, a little more people pleasing, which is wrong. Just taking different cars has caused us not to fight. Also, guys, I used to get in a frenzy when we were late. Yeah, we're late. You know, my dad trained me, if you're not early, you're late. We finally decided, guess what? Jamie's a big girl. She did great before me. She's done great. I'm going to go ahead and go, babe. You get there when you can.
We have the same thing. We do a boot camp together in the summertime, and David likes
beach.
To get
I like to get there early.
Yeah,
so,
and I don't.
So she wants to be there. It starts at 8. She wants to get there at 7:59, 7:55. I want to get there 10 minutes early, sit on the beach, you know, just get a little peace zen time before I sweat. And we were trying, and I was trying to get her out of the house. She didn't want to be rushed.
It was causing a lot of fights.
And finally just said, you know what? I'll go myself, and I'll meet you there when you get there.
Yeah. And people ask us, oh, you don't drive together?
I think
like,
it's weird.
Nope, it saved our marriage.
I'm not sure it saved our marriage, but it certainly didn't. It certainly helped. It scratched off an area of stress. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think when you, you know, we both have grandkids, so we're in a similar age bracket. With the season of life that we're in is the freedom of, it's okay. We know it's not a big deal to drive together. When you're newly married or you've got young kids, it is different because you don't want to be driving, you know, splitting up the family. But there's a level of independence that makes it easier to get along with when you're empty nest and you've got all this under your belt.
Yeah, that's right. And y'all are going to have to cut us off because this is a very personal topic for us with our marriage because we struggled so much with it, but are so grateful and fulfilled that we made it because we did marry the right people, right? I had a lot of growth to do. She had a lot of growth to do. But independence, Jamie just hit something. I used to feel like when you're married, you need to, you know, everything needs to be together. We need to just, oh my gosh. One thing Jamie's really helped me with and we've grown into is independence. I'm fine. Baby, you be you. You be the best you can be. But guess what? Let me be the best me I can be. And we're pretty independent. Now, boy, do we love each other. Are we best friends? Do we like doing certain things together? But this trip I'm going to in Minneapolis for 3 days this week, she'll be just fine. She'll have fun. She'll have fun with her girlfriends. She'll do stuff, but we'll get back together. It'll be awesome. But we don't judge ourselves by others that like to be together, you know, 20 conversations a week. If they don't have an hour conversation at a time, they feel like their relationship, something's wrong with it. Jamie and I are pretty daggum independent. And I think that served us well, because if either one of us felt in a corner or like we were in a cage, I don't think that's healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. So it sounds like you have a secure attachment that allows you to go out and sort of do independent things.
And we're the same. I mean, you know, the sports adage is, here I go again with quotes. And
is,
you know, there's no I in team, but the way we look at it is there is an I in us. And we're the same way. We do things separately. I'm going away in about 2.5-3 weeks for what used to be a day and a half golf trip has now turned into a 5-day golf. And we don't play that much golf, by the way, but Julie's fine. She's perfectly independent. And she does the same thing. We do time separate and we're comfortable with that. In fact, I think ultimately for people who it works, and again, there's no one size fits all, right? But if it works and it strengthens your relationship to have
for
time
us,
apart.
For us, it does. Yeah.
For us,
yeah.
It does too. And Jamie, you say your comment on this, but again, it's fine. And maybe this is the bad kind of pride, but I have so much respect for my wife because, again, she is very confident in who she is and what she does. And she doesn't have to have me involved to be fulfilled. That's not threatening. That is a gift to have somebody that's whole and doesn't depend on me to be whole. And I don't depend on her to be whole, but then we can come together and hopefully be powerful.
I love that.
It's nice. I think a lot of people, and again, people don't like when I say this, but I don't make my living this way. So I'll say it. when you get too needy, I think we can lose respect for each other. Like, wait a second.
I agree.
An individual. When I came to my marriage, we totally believe it's this beautiful, you know, union and everything. But I'm an individual and I'm responsible for my own happiness, for my own, and then hopefully I can be a better partner.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about how Family Savvy was born.
Well, and I did want to say this because we are independent, but we've come into that mostly since all of our kids left.
That's right. That's right.
We were always together. Family was together. We drove together. But so we're talking in this season. But Family Savvy was born, and I owe so much of it to Zane, who is my biggest cheerleader. We had a small group, a friend and I, ministering to young mamas, trying to help them navigate being a wife and a mom.
And with careers. Kids. A lot of them had careers. Mm-hmm.
So we were doing recipes, doing this. And as an investment banker, he said, Jamie, you need to start a website. He called it a blog.
Yeah, this was 15 years ago.
15 right. years ago, 2011. And he said, just put everything there. And then one day it'll be there for your daughters and your granddaughters. Mm-hmm. It grew, hit some viral posts. Then I got a podcast and it's just gone.
Hey, and I got to be honest, y'all. I'm sorry. This is my wife. I can brag on her.
You absolutely can.
She is, I mean, look at her, 60 years old. I mean,
beautiful.
Both of us, I mean, you and I both, David, knocked it out of the park, right?
Yeah, we can't outkick our coverage, that's for
I'm
sure.
I'm sorry, you can think I'm shallow, but one of my knees is an attractive spouse.
Well, you got one.
You are not shallow, my friend.
She's a freaking smoke show. I've been all over the world. She's a smoke show. So she started this in her skin, and she can do recipes. She can cook like a southerner like you can't believe. But also, you know, she's very smart. She's a counselor too. Not a social worker, but she never did licensed counseling stuff.
I didn't
she's
do my hours.
Really good. But anyway, I was so proud of her because I knew if she could document all this, she's very smart. She'd bless a lot of people. But then she's been super. She could be more successful if she wanted to be. But and then she just launched a fashion line, and I'm just watching her, and it's a joy in my life because she helped me build my business. You know, I have a professional practice like you, David, in investment banking, and I'm so stinking proud of her. And also that's made us even stronger because like I get to go with her. I went to New York Fashion Week with her. I'm just like, yeah, I'm with Jamie. You know, hey, and what I tell her is that I'm her eye candy. Right?
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. I love that. I love that.
And my followers, I think some of them love Zane way more than me. He loves my credibility. But no, I will say just in a nutshell, my personality, I'm that person in line at the grocery, Julie, that, you know, thinks everybody's their best friend and gives unsolicited advice.
Oh, well,
have you tried the other brand of that?
Yeah. I do the same thing. I tell people, I say, I'm not bossy. I just have better ideas than everybody else.
Well, then you know that there's a space for that online.
Well, for a while, we had our oldest daughter, a son-in-law, and their two grandsons living with us in our bigger house that we raised our kids in. And it got to a point where we were saying, okay, well, we got to figure out what the rules are. They're there for about a year and a half. I, of course, was happy as a clam. Julie was a little frustrated because there were toys and kids stuff back all over the place again. But we came up with this strategy that if either of us sort of got out of our lane and dipped into the parenting lane, they would say pantry. So I'm going to give you two guesses, and the first one doesn't count, as to who got pantried more often.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got it.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
But, and we still use that.
We do.
We still
yeah.
use that when one of us, mostly me, comments on something that isn't in my lane, right? Like we'll go, my son-in-law, who I love and we have a great relationship, will go pantry, you know, laugh and we'll move on.
And when she starts giving legal advice,
I feel like it's perfectly fine if I say it. I guess we need a word for me because I just say
Jamie's very direct.
But they expect
Jamie, people pay you for this. So that's the other thing is as a therapist, like I get paid to give people advice. So why wouldn't my family want all the free advice?
I'm gonna let that one pass. Frankly, yeah, sure.
I love that. So I want you to dive more into the family savvy and kind of like what you're doing with it, what you're hoping for it, and where we're going.
Julie, thank you for asking. Well, I first want to make very, very clear, family savvy would not be what it is now. I had someone, I stayed home with my kids. Mm-hmm. I worked before they were born, stayed home, and then this was born, you know, when they were in school. And he has made the living, and my goodness, I don't know, you know, from the financial standpoint, but I'm blessed that he has financially provided for us to enable me to grow my business. Basically, where I would like to take this, Julie, is midlife women, I feel like are, for lack of a better term, the new 50. They want to show up. They're younger, stronger, more empowered than ever before. And they're
They got a lot of stuff to keep their sex drive up.
I mean, there's just so many things.
She gave you one dirty look already. I'm going to
stop
coming
your way. I love that.
Connecting more with my midlife demographic and empowering and educating, inspiring them however I can. And one day, who knows? I think one day I would love to have a clothing line. I do have one under an existing brand. I think one day maybe that, but who knows?
Yeah. And other thing I'll say is what she says. She's so where she gets so much fulfillment because I get to watch her doing this is she believes that the second act of a woman ought to be like, this is your best girl. Let's show up. And honestly, again, I'm controversial, but all throughout history, the older men got more and more powerful. If you got rich and men season, right? Mm-hmm. Most women say men season. The older women in most cultures got left behind. Yeah. And Jamie's like, this is our best season. Giddy up, girl. You're pretty. You're beautiful. You're gorgeous.
You be the trophy wife.
I say, I'm married my trophy. You got it all going on. Don't you dare think that you need to slow down. Let's make this second act the best. That's where I think it's moving from recipes and more empowerment for women.
And Julie, I think you can understand what I'm about to say. I think that we dedicate, a lot of us dedicate the first two thirds of our life, if this is the last third, to our children. And we have and love grandchildren. But I personally don't feel like every woman should be expected to just continue being nothing but a mother. That's a fabulous job.
Right.
But we can have careers. We can thrive and wear many hats.
Just can.
And I think that that's sort of what I try to.
And I know you got to go, but David, in your line of work, you know, as an investment banker, I deal with a lot of people that have huge liquidity events and I see their families get destroyed and stuff, not happen. I'm going to tell you one thing Jamie's getting into that I'm very proud of her. And she did it in our life. You know, she didn't know how much money we made or make. She didn't know anything about our estate, nothing till about 10 years ago. And she said, wait a second, that's irresponsible.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah, it is. And I wanted her to get involved. And boy, she took a real ownership in planning, looking, thinking about our giving, thinking about our estate, thinking about all that. And she's, I think, going to help a lot of women start getting more informed, the ones that were never really interested in finances, about wealth.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. And then to flip the whole thing around, because we have that in our marriage where I know about the money and I pay the bills actually.
Good.
David, through the years of raising four daughters, every year or two, I would say, okay, here's an elastic band, and I'd make them do a ponytail.
Yeah,
It was called the ponytail test. We had four daughters, and if something, you know, if I wasn't around or something happened to me, I needed him to be able to take care of the girl's hair.
I can still do really good ponytails, pigtails, braids. I struggle with because I got fat fingers. But
I'm feeling inferior now because I don't know if I can
work on it.
Ponytail
when
test.
You can work on her hair. That's the first thing he's going to do.
Yeah.
You're bald right now.
Yeah. So it's great. But oh my God, I think we could talk for hours.
We could talk
for hours. I mean, we have so much in common, and I love that, you know, Zane, you just kind of can't come in and say what you want. I love that. So if people want to get in touch with either one of you, if people have money and they don't know what to do with it, Zane, or, you know, people want to hear more from you, Jamie, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me. You can just Google Family Savvy. It'll pull up the blog with 600 plus recipes and so forth. And if you're on social media, family@family_savvy. And the podcast is the Savvy Cast, and it's on all podcast platforms.
Yeah, and thanks for asking. I'm just a simple guy. I've got one email at my business called Founders Advisors. So if you hit Founders Advisors and a weird name, Zane, you'll find me.
Well, all of that, folks, will be in our show notes. And I just want to point one other thing out before we close, and that is that there's two parallel lessons that you folks can teach. And hopefully people caught on to today. One is that you can be supportive of each other But at the same time, you can also stay in your own space without overwhelming the other. And I personally, I find that so refreshing, really. And I want to thank you guys so much for being on with us. It's been great. I don't want to take up the entirety of your Sunday. This is Sunday when we're recording, folks. We are the Bullets, T-H-E-B-U-L-I-T-T-S. Find us on all social media platforms and our website, the Bullets, T-H-E-B-U-L-I-T-T-S. I'm supposed to spell that because people can't spell it all that well. And again, thank you to Jane and Zamy. Zane and Jamie for coming on. I don't know what you call that.
It's a tongue twister.
A tongue twister. Okay. Thanks to you both for coming on, spending some time today. And everyone out there, hope you enjoyed it. Please join us next time on Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
Julie Bullitt is a professionally licensed clinical social worker and family therapist. David Bullitt is a divorce and family lawyer. Julie is not your therapist, and David is not your lawyer. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only.